Yo, what's up? It's your girl, Father Long Legs. You know me, Daddy T. This is You Can Tell Me Anything, and I'm introducing a special iconic confession episode. I'm going all the way back. This was the very, very first episode in studio we ever recorded, way before April when it premiered in 2018, actually. This episode came out May 2018 because we did do a batch record. I would say this was probably recorded January 2018, like the first week. It was definitely a New Year's resolution to start a podcast back, you know, in the before days. And I had so much fun on this episode. I think the reason I haven't put this out before, I was actually very surprised. I was like, I thought we have re-released this before. It's a big episode. It's just because in the first season, you know, you're really just trying to get new guests, expand, and try to be like, look, we have a whole backlog. And then I just totally was like, you know what? It's about time we bring back the Zhaj. That's right. This is with James Austin Johnson, way before he was on SNL. I actually love this episode because we do have a moment where we're making jokes about SNL, as we, you know, comedians do. It's not like it's he was actually auditioning for it yet, but he's always been very talented, and I really love re-listening to that moment because we are just kind of joking around about SNL, like, because it's just the thing people tell you when you say you're a comedian, like, oh, you should do SNL. And then how fun and exciting and magical to hear that now and be like, yeah, he's on SNL. Very, very cool. I do want to say there are slight variations from the original, not a lot, but I did edit a couple things just because I did, you know, to keep up with the times. So just in case confidants have heard the first version of this, which it is still available, but this version I've edited out a part where just pre-transition of a friend of ours, so I didn't want to dead name anyone, and also any personal information about James' family, because he is a much more public figure now, and I didn't want to put any scrutiny like that on him, but otherwise, pretty much the fully intact interview. So we do make references to the time, which is 2018, and I did not edit those out, so keep in mind this was recorded in 2018. Okay, that was a long, long time ago, but I do think this was a really fun story, and just love talking to James about his decision to get this Barack Obama tattoo, and his background in the Nazarene Christian community, and how that got him into comedy, and knowing where he is now is even cooler. Before we get too far into it, I do want to let you guys know the California Center for Anxiety and Trauma is now open. Okay, this is not a sponsored read. I just found out about it through a friend who knows the person who started this, and it sounds like a really great thing. Full disclosure, I'm not offering medical advice. I'm not a healthcare professional. I just think it sounds like a cool thing that a friend of mine shared with me, so I'd love to get the word out. But of course, do your own research, you know, ask to professionals. It is called the California Center for Anxiety and Trauma. It's founded by someone within the community, a doctor, and found out about it through a friend who is also in the comedy community for just helping address mental health, trauma, anxiety in a more targeted way, especially for minority groups, LGBT, queer, POC, you know, just really trying to directly address the needs of people's mental health needs that haven't always been addressed from the bigger hospitals or the bigger sort of money-hungry angle. I'm very excited to share that with you. You can go to www.cacenterforanxietytrauma.com to find out more information. It's a practice that is explicitly committed to therapy. It's anti-racist, LGBTQ+ affirming, and feminist. So check that out. And speaking of checking things out, on October 21st, I will be doing the Are You Afraid of the 90s show at the Public Displays of Altadena. I'm really excited for the show. I really hope y'all come, spread the word. I'm hosting a 90s themed Halloween show. Basically a seance for the dead decade of the 90s. We're gonna have so much fun. You don't have to be a millennial to come, but if you are, you better dress up as something, bitch. Tickets are $10, but DM me if you want to come and you don't have the money. I do have some comps, and I would love to get some confidants in the audience. It's going to be a lot of fun. October 21st at 8 p.m., Public Displays of Altadena. That's it for the announcement. Enjoy this iconic confession with James Austin Johnson. Bye. You can tell her. You can tell her anything. She's a real
I'm Teresa Lee, and this is You Can Tell Me Anything, and I'm here with a very special guest. I'm super excited to have him on. Very funny comedian. He's from Texas, but he's in Los Angeles. He did Just for Laughs, New Faces last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay.
I'm from Tennessee.
From Tennessee. I'm sorry.
They're not all one big.
No, you just said you were going. You went to Texas, so that's why I thought.
I was in Texas. Yeah.
And I just made the wrong connections. We came back from the holidays. I'm sorry. They do both start with T's. He's from Tennessee, but he was recently in Texas.
That's right. And now I'm talking to Teresa.
Yes. Please give it up for James Austin Johnson, or as many people call him, Jazz.
Josh.
Well, I just found this out, that you like to be called Josh.
Well, I like to be called whatever people want to call me.
But you prefer
Josh. I would prefer Josh or Jaj or however, if you wrote those letters down, J-H-A, how do you say that? That's what I want to hear you say. Yeah. I want my name to be a piece of sheet music.
Oh. But sheet music is...
And I want my name to be a song.
I see.
You know what I mean?
So there's structure to it, but there is room for emotional interpretation.
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
Very good.
Do you like being called that because there's a sense of familiarity, you think? Like the idea of like, it's not just like James is a great name, but you know, it's a lot of people are named James, but then when people call you Jaj, it's like, oh, they know me. There's already sense of like camaraderie.
You know what? I think when I started performing, I had always gone by Austin Johnson my whole life. My family calls me Austin and stuff like that. But I like the name okay, but I like it with my other name too. And also just Austin Johnson, that's a really fratty name to me.
It's
really
fratty.
You know what I mean? And I don't feel like a particularly fratty fellow.
You are wearing a red hat. It says Make America Great on it.
It does not say Make America Great Again. I want to be clear. It does not say Make America Great Again. It says
Bubba Gump.
Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Yeah.
And this was a present from my fiance's parents over Christmas. Nice hat. Thank you very much. I've been nervous to even wear a regular red hat, like a red hat that's just red, dude.
My grandpa is in Taiwan, and I was just in Taiwan visiting him. He's very old and very Chinese, like doesn't speak English. And he was wearing a red hat. It was like a Ralph Lauren hat. Uh-huh. But like when I saw him from far away, I was like, is he wearing it? Like that's my first, because now I'm just so used to seeing that. It's like, what is he wearing? But it was just a Ralph Lauren hat.
I mean, you know, it's crazy that a whole hat can be a symbol of hate in 2017. You know what I mean? Like a whole color of, like a genre. That's like, that should be a red baseball cap. Honestly, you talk about your grandpa in Taiwan. Talk about my red hat. That should be an essential of men's fashion, red baseball cap. And it's effed up. You know.
Is that a thing everyone has? You know what I really love in menswear is like...
What's that?
A nice red tie. I feel like I don't see that a lot now. Like a power tie. I saw it a lot in... like I studied abroad in France and... That's like the men's fashion outfit, I guess. Like when you're at Fashion Week, like the guys.
You wear a red tie in France.
Yeah. Well, I guess they like the bouncers there, they call them the red ties because they all wear that. But it's a very like classic look. You wear like a black suit and then a red tie. And I think it looks very nice. But I don't see it a lot now.
You know who I see wear a red tie a lot?
Who?
President Trump.
Oh, all right.
That's who I see wearing
I guess
the red
presidents
ties.
Wear. I think politicians do that. But I don't see it a lot in like. I think we should bring it back to the young,
we
young fashion
That's,
masses.
You understand what I'm saying. We got to take away from this alt-right BS. We got to take some fashion back that's, you know, normative and good and bring everyone likes it.
Yeah.
You'd look great in a red tie.
I would look. You know, this is all because I want to wear a red tie. I think I should be able to wear it.
You could go classic, you know, like a Diane Keaton style suit with a red tie. You know, like an Annie Hall type suit.
Yeah. I tried to buy a suit.
At the same time.
I had to go to a bunch of weddings this year, and I didn't want to have to wear a new dress for everyone. So I looked for like a nice pantsuit that I could wear. Couldn't find a good one, and then I bailed and just bought like a jumpsuit, which is what I ended up wearing. But
That's
I would
dope.
Love to get like a nice – because, you know, men, you can wear the same thing for every wedding, right? I would love to get a nice like power tuxedo lady jumpsuit pantsuit thing. Wear it for all the weddings.
Wear it every day.
Wear it every day.
Like, just like make it a, like make that your 2018 look mm-hmm. of just like this beautiful, elegant suit that is just presence and commandingness. You know what I mean?
If I wore the, I think I like people who wear the same thing every day, but I can't pull it off. But do you think, because I think I just start looking schlubby, but do you think if I wore like very, very fancy clothes, like a prom dress, but wore the same one every day, would it start feeling not fancy?
Like, yeah, because it would like, it would take on, you know, the starches and debris of regular life.
Oh, I mean,
life,
I would wash,
you know?
It, would... but then it would it just start looking like my norm? Like, I would not, I never, know. I wouldn't look dressed up.
I think anymore. I would get used to it.
Yeah, people,
you know,
would get
I mean?
Used to my dressed up look.
I think so.
I think I see a lot of like, people who take bold risks will swing the other way and go to like sort of simple basics, but in their twists, you know, mm-hmm. like Lady Gaga is a fashion icon, and she, you
she's
know,
the
did,
best.
She went really crazy with the meat dress and like the penis heels, and then went came back the other way and just very, very elegant, still fashionable, but now is like very
now she's
like
singing
Audrey Hepburn
with
style.
Yeah, you know yeah. what I mean. It's like she got into more classical,
but it works because it's in contrast to.
Yeah, she used to need to really make a lot of statements, and now she's like embodying her inspirations.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so this sort of, okay, I guess we kind of got off on tangent, but I think it's all very interesting.
I think it's all relevant.
It's all relevant because, you know, people are multi-layered, and we're not always one thing, but we want to express ourselves in one way at that time, but that's just one facet of who we are. So I think really like what we are is a bunch of secrets, right? We're walking
there's
around
secrets.
With a lot of secrets. There's a, oh, here, I want to start off with a quote from Albert Camus, author of The Stranger. A guilty conscience needs to confess. A work of art is a confession. Which I like that quote. But that sort of ties into, we're all walking around with a lot of things, whether we feel guilty about them or not. There's just things that people don't know about us, right? Like stories, secrets, all these things that sometimes I think I want everyone to know everything about me. But you can't just like start off that way. You gotta let people ask you. And therapy is expensive. So I think having conversations, having confessions is a way to connect to people. Have you ever had a confidant? Do you have a confidant? Someone you tell things to?
Oh,
normally?
Yeah. My fiance, Rebecca, has heard everything, including about the time I, well, I can't say that I murdered anybody on a podcast. Let's
I
forget. I can we edit that part out?
Look, you can tell me anything, but I can't promise you that you won't get arrested. That's all. All
right.
But I will not judge you.
That's okay.
The law may have a different opinion.
It's okay. I mean, I feel really comfortable talking to you here in this nice space, but also this is going to go out into the internet.
It
is. The permanence of the internet. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm talking to you, but then I'm talking to, you know, the future as well. All of the future.
Yeah. Maybe this will be dug up in thousands of years.
I'm going to go.
No,
I don't think
don't.
I can do it. No, I really don't think I can.
I think that I don't think you murdered anyone because I feel like if someone,
I
people who have
anyone.
Murdered people, you can't, like a secret like that, you can't
yeah.
really keep without it affecting your life. Like,
oh,
it
yeah.
comes out, you
it
know?
It comes out. I mean, have you listened to Payne Lindsay's Up and Vanished?
I have not.
It's a podcast. It's like Serial, but it's like the 99 cent store version
oh, okay.
of Serial. It's not as tight. It's not I as see. Tightly made, but it's fascinating, and the story is fascinating, and the reporting is pretty good. But it's a murder story, and I drove with my fiance, who's now my fiance, by the way. I got engaged over.
Oh, congrats! So, yeah, I wasn't sure
Christmas.
If you were already engaged or not.
No, I wasn't.
And
well,
I remember you had a girlfriend, but then I was like, I don't know if this is new, so I didn't say anything.
So, yeah,
and congratulations! That's
oh,
great.
Thank you. Well,
so you did the proposing, obviously.
I did the proposing. I got the ring. She's a very traditional gal. But she's cool. All right. She's cool.
So you had to get the
Lay
permission
off.
From
cool.
the parents.
Yeah. I had to get permission from her parents. I didn't have to, but it was like, you
the nice thing to do.
It's the good boy thing to do. You want, when you're gonna take a man's daughter,
you're gonna
that's a terrible way to put it. When you're going to say
man.
To a man,
take
her I know she's
freedom.
Your daughter, but she's going to come hang out with me and my PlayStation. You know, no father really loves that moment, but you have to like, you have to do it. You have to be like, hey, listen, I know that you're you know, twice my age and really good at a lot of cool stuff, and you make money and take care of your family. And I know that I am, I live streamed me building a Star Wars Lego set the other day. So that's what I did the other day.
Was it the Millennium Falcon?
No, it was the scene in Return of the Jedi where Luke and Darth Vader are fighting, and the Emperor's up there shooting lightning bolts going, yes, yes, give in to your fear.
So
I love it when he becomes a bad Jedi. Do you like that character?
That's a great character.
You think I should put that in my Saturday Night Live audition?
For sure. I think
100%. I think I'm going to have to write that one down.
I think we should call Lorne Michaels and have you do it right now.
Let's get Lorne down here. We'll tell him we have a bunch of fancy red wine and trap him and make him watch my bad Emperor Palpatine.
I think he'll book you just from the audio of that.
But you do have to talk to the father and ask. But, okay, so listen. So 2 years after, for 2 years right after college, I dated this girl, my college roommate's sister. She mm-hmm. came over to borrow a DVD. Then I dated her for 2 years.
Wow.
And then we broke up. And I was doing more stand-up. I had been a Christian teen stand-up comedian since I was about 14.
Mm-hmm.
I've told this story a couple times because it's pretty weird background. And people, if they hear one line of it, they're like, I got to hear the rest of that. So it's been often anthologized on other podcasts. So I don't need to tell you everything about being a teen Christian stand-up comedian.
You've heard some of it? Well, some of the stuff that we'll get to later, I think, is tied into it.
Yeah, but that's sort of the background I come from, and the more I got into stand up and making it into a more of a career, I knew I had to come here, and I could go to New York or Los Angeles, and I chose Los Angeles, one because I'd been to one semester of Christian film school,
uh-huh.
and so I had been here before. And I knew about where Burbank was. You know what I mean?
And you knew where that cross that you see from the 101 highway.
Oh,
that's the one I always see when I'm there.
One like you're coming from Studio City area, yeah. And then you see that cross.
That's when I consider God the most, is coming back from auditions. I see those. No, I don't know.
What religion did you grow up with?
I actually was raised, well, I wasn't raised religious, but I went to Christian school. And like, you know, just because I was in a bad area for a little bit. And so that was a better school.
Mm-hmm.
So Christianity was always tied into education for me.
Mm.
And then high school, I went to Catholic school for 1 year. 1 year also because there were budget cuts in the public school.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get baptized, but I was like in that world. But I was never very religious. But then my dad is actually born again Christian. And okay. My sister... is Catholic now, but she did all that. I forget what the term is when you're an adult and you catechism. I don't know. Something.
Catechism.
Yeah, you do all that stuff.
In Catholicism, you have to take some like Jedi classes
before you get
to be full on Christian. Yeah, Catholic
then you get
person.
Your superpowers.
And then you get your Catholic big old thumbs up and you go, you can be Catholic now, baby. And then you can do all the sacraments. You can take Eucharist. You mm-hmm. can all that stuff. Protestant churches are like, just get in that grape juice and grab a wafer. Get 50. Get over here and join us. Catholics are like, you gotta. We'd like it if you saw some of these seminars and read some of these books and
yeah,
like pump the brakes.
She did that in college.
Yeah,
so it was pretty removed from me. I went to some church in college. I think mostly Episcopalian.
Episcopalian.
One that was close.
You went to some church. I went to like two church. I went to at least three church services a week.
Wow.
Twice on Sunday. There's morning church, and then you hang out and do whatever you want.
Hang.
And then there's another night church. Why? Why?
I don't know. I guess it's a community thing, I think.
It is. It's mostly a social thing. But it's weird to be like, all right, so I got to cry every morning, and then I got to
cry
every
church?
Night. Church, if you do church right, you cry.
Wow.
Because it's like... Do you hang out on the West Coast? Are you a very West Coast person?
I live here.
You live here.
Is that all what right, you mean?
Cool. No, I mean, do you like?
Do you hang on the
mushrooms
go
wander out naked in the desert and look for your soul and then be sex positive and all the California weed and all the weed and the breweries and IPAs,
like the spiritual stuff. Some of that,
West Coast.
Since I moved to LA about 2.5 years ago, I have spent more than $50 on crystals.
Okay, so you got the crystals. That's like a good... crystals is like Pokemon for me. It's like, I get it. Because like if I showed...
It's like
a
collector
cool,
items.
It's
I was sober for a year, and that's the time that I bought the most crystals.
It's a cool thing to like when you're sober, right?
Yeah, it's like I need to spend money on something that
is you do.
Useless. So
exactly. Try showing your... I mean, if I showed my Pokemon crystal Game Boy Color cartridge, I've got like... I'm trying to get all 252 on that cartridge.
Uh-huh.
I'm only up to like 160, but that's still the most Pokemon I've ever collected on one old school Pokemon cartridge ever. And if I took that into some beautiful willowy witch in Silver Lake and I said, look at how many of these Pokemans I've got, she wouldn't give a shit. But then if she got, you know, a piece of quartz that really speaks to her right. and showed it to me, I would be like, ugh. Call me when it's 160 Pokemon on this crystal card.
Call me when it can battle.
That's so odd. Pokemon crystal. Crystals.
Yeah, there you go.
See, everything is connected.
It is all connected. Well, speaking of, you're talking about church, and I think, community is one aspect, but I also think just some of it is morality and feeling good. And I know this podcast is about confessions, but confessions aren't all bad. So just like a quick segment is, what's something good you want to confess to? Maybe something you've done that you never got credit for. And, you know, people don't always like to brag, especially comedians don't. You know, we're more self-deprecating type of person. But this is your chance, and I demand you to confess something good that you've done that you feel good about.
I have to confess something good that I've done.
You have to confess something that, or that makes you feel good that maybe you never got credit for, people don't know about.
Right,
sometimes
right,
you just
right,
sort
right,
of
right.
put tip in a jar and the barista's not looking, and you're like, well, I did that for me.
I am really proud of one little tag that I gave my friend Finn Straley because getting a tag suggestion from a friend on a joke of yours is like 99% not something you want to happen. And then every once in a while someone suggests something and it's like, oh, I really like that. And yeah, that sounds like more like me than I could have thought of, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm not saying that that's what this is for my buddy, but when I watch him do the joke, it makes me really happy to think of like, oh, yeah, that was like, I was watching him do the joke and then I had a line for an idea for an ending or like a little tag thing for it. And I gave it to him. And so, yeah, when I see him do that joke, it makes me very proud.
And it must be nice. And it does well and he's happy about it. And
yeah, it's like it's
communal.
It's a joke about H&M. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the men's fashion discussion that we've already had today. It felt good to, you know, give to help burn H&M. You know what I mean? Excoriate them with satire.
I'll have to go catch it next time.
Is that a good one to confess?
That's something that works because it's not, you almost don't want to, that's not something you would want to brag about because it feels like you don't want to.
It's not my thing. It's his thing.
But then it is because you feel good about it and it makes him feel, so it's like a win-win. But then people don't want to like talk about it. Because on stage you don't want to. I mean, people riff all the time and write together, and I think
there's no suitable way to credit someone for something like that other than to just do their joke and have them get to see it work, and then they feel proud.
Yeah,
you don't get paid a lot of comedy, so like getting paid in
good vibes
is dope. And also I did give my nephew fake dog crap, his first fake dog crap this Christmas. He's
26 years old.
He's 26 years old, and you really tickled me there. He's 26 years old, and he's a great guy. He's a great guy, and he loves the fake dog crap.
Are you trying to instill, like, a sense of humor?
I am, you know, because I mean, we hooked him up with the whoopee cushion. The whoopee cushion was a big hit. I mean, as it should be. And the point of play should be fun. And it should be to explore complex ideas. And so, you know, getting to think about what shit is. What is shit? Can I touch shit? Does shit... What does it represent to others? When I pick up this shit and I put it where they were seated after they've gone up to get more tea, they come back and they say shit there. What does that mean to them? What does that mean to me? What does what it means to them mean to me?
You made him write an essay before you gave it to him.
I did make him write an essay. It's so weird that you know all these details. I guess I do. I do a lot of Instagram stories. You follow me on Instagram,
I do.
Right? Okay.
Did you ever get a did you have like a comedy benefactor when you were a kid? Like, you know, like a were your parents funny? Sort of got you into humor, like playing pranks and that sort of thing.
Oh wow! I mean, the earliest mentor I had in comedy was probably a trailer for The Mask that might have run too much on basic cable.
I like The Mask.
Because I do remember one time I got my parents together, and it was very late at night before my bedtime, and I took off my shirt and I put on this white blazer that I had from like an Easter suit or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm like shirtless, white blazer. I'm like. Seven.
They make white blazers for 7-year-olds?
Oh, yeah. You got to look fly for, like, Easter. You got to be, like, pastels.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I guess that's
you know
right.
I mean?
They do, yeah, little yeah. Easter
kids. It's part of a suit. It's part of a suit. It's not like a...
I'm just thinking, like, Bruno Mars. Like
you think I've just got a cool white jacket like cool laying around with, like, a black moves. V-neck? I'm not... No, I wasn't a cocaine dealer as a child in Oklahoma.
Well, you missed out.
Would have been a really cool kid. If I sold cocaine as a kid in Oklahoma,
probably sell so much cocaine. As like, think about how much Girl Scouts can sell just because they're kids.
Just because they're kids, yeah. Why aren't there more child cocaine dealers? Alexa, take a note. Why aren't there more child cocaine dealers?
Got an app idea, kid cocaine dealer.
I hope someone is listening to this podcast through their Alexa. Connected to their speakers, and then it stops because Alexa was like, excuse me?
What did you say?
You want there to be more kid cocaine dealers? And then Child Protective Services appears at your house. They have no child to pick up. They're just worried.
But it's more problematic that there is no child.
Yeah, exactly. Alexa, turn volume up. I want to see if that worked. Write into Teresa and me if that worked.
Yeah, please write to Esther.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I was telling you about this white blazer that I wore, and I performed, that was probably my first stand-up set, was sort of doing my weird little kid's version of whatever I saw in the trailer for The Mask.
That's great.
But, you know, shirtless, and I'm not
blazer.
Jim Carrey in a white blazer, and it's very late at night, and I should be in bed. So that's sort of, you know, that's where comedy began for me, I would say. But when I grew up, in all seriousness, I grew up extremely mm-hmm. Christian, and I didn't have access to a lot of stuff with comedy. My dad liked Bill Cosby a lot, so I heard some Bill Cosby. It didn't really grab me as a kid, because Bill Cosby is very much like, I'm an adult looking back on my interesting life mm-hmm. in the past, and I can't understand an adult's point of view. Like, MASH and Seinfeld would be on, and I'd be like, this is incomprehensible. I don't understand anyone's motivations or problems.
Right.
Those are very adult shows.
They are.
MASH. And in MASH, they're just trying to get in each other's pants, frankly, on MASH. Have you ever watched MASH?
I haven't watched MASH. I've watched Seinfeld. But I relate to that.
Seinfeld, they're all also trying to get in each other's pants the whole time. It's very adult.
I relate to that because I used to write these, I used to want to be like a pop star, and I'd write these like, lyrics, that pop lyrics, and I was just imitating what I heard, right? So it'd be like a lot of sort of like lovelorn, that sort of thing. But I had no experience. So looking back on the lyrics, there was a lot of adult things that I had no idea what they were, you know? It'd be just like talking about heartbreak or talking about like wanting someone or like, I want your body, I need you, like things like that. And I had no idea what I was talking about, but...
Yeah, cravings.
Yeah, it's weird. You
cravings.
Sort of like imitate what you hear.
You do, because children are sponges and they just repeat things.
Yeah.
There was a commercial that I would repeat. This was another one of my first like bits, because I would like do it over. If you do something over and over, that qualifies as a bit,
yeah.
I think. If you're trying to make someone laugh and you keep repeating this same dumb thing to as many different people as possible, you really want to be a comedian, because that's what comedy is. I would memorize this infomercial for this plastic, you know, fucking mom's tackle box. It's like a tackle box for mom. You know, have you ever been fishing? A tackle box, a big plastic crate full of all your tackle, your baits.
Your worms.
And your, well, I mean, there's like a maybe a thing of crickets or worms or something. But I'm talking about the shiny little Pokemons that you put at the end of your hook.
I've never gone fishing.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I think I've seen it in cartoons, like, you know.
Okay, you've seen it.
Sunday morning cartoons that have fishing in them, do they? I don't know.
All right, yeah. Okay, so when you get your fishing rod, you get the line down, and you have a lure. Uh-huh. You have shiny crap.
That's also a Pokemon, right?
You have, there's probably a lure-themed Pokemon.
Oh, no, that's the thing you use in Pokemon, a lure.
You use a Pokeball. In Pokemon,
don't they have lures in Pokemon?
I think there is a lure ball.
Okay.
There is a ball.
It attracts the Pokemon.
That you could, yeah, exactly.
So you have your lure.
So you have the hook, you have the wire, and then you have to put some bling, uh-huh. like some little or a little action figure of a squid or something that distracts the fish you're trying to catch. They want to see a little creature they could eat. They want to see a little treat. You know, like a, you know, for a human, it would be like the pie tower at a diner, beautifully lit pie tower. And you see all the rotating slices of pie. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're trying to do that to these fucking fish in the fucking pond with a little tackle. So you get a little action figure of a little alligator. It's something that looks tasty to a fish. They come up to it. You might also have a dead animal bait thing, like a chunk of cricket or a chunk of...
Like a last meal.
Of a worm. Yeah. You're basically just playing these mind games to get a fish to jump onto it. Then they snatch it and you get your fish and you clean it. But different fish like different tackle, so you have this big crate full of all your different little fishing toys.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So it was a commercial
for
one of these big plastic crate things, except it like rolled out. And it rolled back up into like a thing. Whatever. So I memorized this long infomercial describing this strange contraption. And I would just stop my dad and be like, it rolls up and rolls out and displays everything at your fingertips. And now for only $19.99. Like I just would repeat this in someone's face. And it was like a 3 or 4 minute long thing. But it just came on during cartoons. So I memorized
it. I can picture
it.
So it wasn't even a comedic one. You just did it as...
I just performed it straight.
That's like almost a level of comedy because you're not repeating it because the commercial's funny, but you realize it's funny to repeat something that's not funny.
Yeah, to hear a manic child relate a piece of, you know, commercial crap to you, I think that qualifies as an interesting experience, right?
It does.
So, you know, I think those were the seeds of comedy for me, repeating awful commercials to my family. I don't think I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But I felt good doing it. And I think that's the way you should approach everything.
That's true.
Including the presidency.
Yep. Well, speaking of secrets and not knowing things, is there anything that you've never told anyone, since this is all about confessing and getting things off your chest, that a story or something you've never told that you'd like to tell me?
Yeah, I could tell the story of my... Barack Obama tattoo.
I would love. Oh, there's a presidency tie-in. Wow, there's so many themes on this pod.
Oh yeah.
I would love to hear about your Barack Obama tattoo.
Well, I mean, it is a President Trump tattoo in a way, and it's my grandfather tattoo in a way as well. But it's kind of that thing of where you take one. I guess I did it with the commercial as a kid. You take one recognizable symbol. Mm-hmm. And you can apply a lot of meanings to it. And so that's what I think a tattoo should be. Tattoo should be something simply represented that could probably have a lot of different meanings, personal meanings to you. It should have a layered personal meaning to you, or else it's just you're painting something very absurd on your flesh. And you know what? There's a place for that. Actually, that's probably the best kind of tattoo to have if it's just purely absurd.
I think the first one you get should be meaningful, but I think if you get a lot, some of them don't have to be.
Yeah.
Like I have one that's just California outline or California's outline, and I got it because it was $13.
That's dope.
And so it was a fun story, and it was also like $13, of course I'll get a tattoo. I was living in New York too. I don't think I would get a California tattoo in California.
Whoa.
That's crazy. But in New York, I missed home and they had it in this book and it was for Friday the 13th. But there was a 13 in it and I was like, can you do it without? And they were very strict about modifications, but I was like, no modifications. You're just doing less work. And so the guy agreed. So,
nice. Yeah.
But that one doesn't really mean anything besides.
No, I guess it's tight though.
I'm from California. But
yeah, that's tight. Where are you from in California again?
Palo Alto, Bay Area.
Palo Alto. Tight. Oh, yeah. So that's what I was talking about earlier. I was about to say, are you Bay Area person?
Can you tell?
A little bit.
People ask me that. I don't know.
I don't know. I love going up to the Bay. That's like, I love just like booking a show and just going up there for like one night. I love lots of the different areas up there. So it's I've just been thinking about it.
I don't know what the Bay, like what we Bay people are like. I think we're just chill.
Just chill as fuck, man.
But I'm honestly a little manic too. I think it's like this sort of like hyper, like there's a little bit of like this like sort of
hyphy.
Hyphy. But it's also very like, I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but it's a super like educated area. And there's a lot of like, I say intelligent, not in the sense of like I'm smart, but in the sense of like people like to have very like sort of like heady conversations. So there's that sense.
It's a little bit of an eye roll.
And it's an eye roll. It's a lot of like getting high and then talking about the universe.
The more north you get, it gets more of an eye roll.
Right.
For me, because I'm from Middle Tennessee, and it's just, that's like what my preset is.
Yeah.
And then the only other place that I lived, 3 to 8, I was in Oklahoma. So I've lived in somewhat big-ish cities in the South, Southwest, Midwest area. That stuff. So
tell me more about this tattoo. So you got this tattoo.
I got this tattoo because of Facebook arguments with conservatives. Basically, like my family. And by the way, these weren't arguments that took place on Facebook. These were arguments because of stuff said on Facebook.
Oh, in real
life. Like, you know, the whole election chaos that happened. Everyone was, I'm very like left wing and stuff, and very much like this, living this West Coast life now, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I come from a very conservative Republican thing. I come from, you know, Protestant Christianity. It's you know, it's not as diverse economically or racially or thoughts. Ideas aren't diverse. There's like very limited set of ideas and ideals to choose from back where I'm from. So when this election stuff was going on and a really strange evil man was like winning all of the Christians' hearts, that made me feel really weird as like a, you know, hippy dippy who's informed by Christianity. Like that's kind of like where I'm at with that stuff is I'm kind of an agnostic who likes Christianity a lot. And had to leave it because it drove me nuts.
Right.
So I had to leave it. And now I kind of just like it as an idea and I'm trying to like reapproach it, or I don't know. I'm just taking stock of all that stuff in my life.
Have you been to church out in LA?
There's a lot of like church to go to out here. There's a lot of like cool church, and I'm not really ready to do cool church where they have like cold brew and like hot people. Yeah, I'm not into it yet. I mean, I need to go, but like I'm not into it. I had to just take a break from all that stuff because I just don't know if I'm into it. Honestly, it's weird, but it's my whole family's thing. It's my whole family's like business. Like you asked like what the men in my family did or what the people in my family did. My grandfather was one of the guys who ran the Church of the Nazarene, which is the denomination that I'm from. He's one of the guys that ran it for a number of years. The other grandfather was a president of a Nazarene college, the one that I went to. So that was like what everyone, that we went to the same church all the time, and that's our whole family's community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really good for my family and been really good to my family. But I think after a while it just kind of drove me nuts and I got tired of, I couldn't see it for what it was, and I just had to leave.
Well, I'm sure it gets tied up with a lot of personal and like human error gets mixed in when there's so much time spent around it.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the values of the church, but I'm sure I mean, just imagining my family went before anybody was religious that we got in fights. So if you throw religion on top, it probably gets mixed in with the personal arguments and everything.
Oh yeah. I mean, when your whole life is one, you know, what happens in one denomination of a church, it's like you have to adopt the mainstream opinion of anything and not make any waves. You can't really have a personal opinion that exists outside of the expectations of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew I thought differently in I had different beliefs and stuff. I just did. And it was informed because of my religion. It's like, no, I don't agree with shaming gay people, for example, or queer mm-hmm. people at all. And like, I don't think that that is a Jesus-y thing to do. So that was a thing that was one of the first like holes in the dam for me with mm-hmm. Christianity. Like when my uncle was outed to me very late in my life when I was like 16, he'd been with the same man since the 80s. And I didn't know. I had said all these homophobic things around him because I was just like a dumb little kid.
Right.
You know, trying out Call of Duty language, you know.
Uh-huh. Because like, that's what you were sort of grew up around.
That's what you grow up around. And then I felt so bad thinking I'd been so insensitive to my uncle. So I was like 16 and starting to form a conscience. You know, that was one of those things that fucked with me. Because I was like, this just isn't Jesus-y to treat people like this. To stand in the way of people having love made no sense with the Christianity that I knew. So
he was so did your family know when they just were sort of like
yeah, they just didn't want to. Yeah, because you just don't want to make waves. You just don't want to deal with anything difficult, which I get. And especially with kids and relatives and all that stuff, it's really hard to. It's just hard in that Christianity life to know when to tell. You know, a kid that their uncle is a gay dude. He's a cool dude. Yeah. But I'm glad that I found out, and now I get to hang out. Now I get to just drive to Atlanta and hang out with
my uncle. Tell the truth all the time. That could work too. But
that's what I'm doing now as a stand-up. I'm just like, let's talk about this. Trump fucking sucks. Uh-huh. That's what I did on Facebook, and it pissed off my most like Republican leaning family members.
So what happened to people? Did they sit you down and talk to you about it?
They didn't sit me down. They sent a lot of angry text messages and messages, and you know, in. It took me a while to realize, well, I mean, it's okay for me to be a fucking liberal commie son of a bitch. That's fine. I can do that. I don't have to, like, hate my family members. We don't certainly don't need to argue all the time.
Yeah.
Especially if it's pointless, then we're just hating each other, and then hate wins. And that sucks. That's what I hate, is hate.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So, it's always been weird to know how to have an influence in that weird Christian world that doesn't seem to want to do the Christian work. You know what I mean? So instead of, instead of hating my grandfather who voted for Trump, and I remember one time I posted some jokey post about Trump, and then he like texted me and he was just like, well, you know, I wish you would respect the office of the president or something like that. He was really upset that I would say something that would besmirch his.
I wish he would choice. Respect. I wish the president would respect the would. Office of the president.
Well, I mean, instead of like launching back into another right, comeback, right. I asked my friend to tattoo Barack Obama on my leg. Like he's
Is it his face?
It's his face. It's his face from this GQ cover portrait. And he kind of looks like he's in Kiss because it's like a minimalist outline cartoonish type thing.
Uh-huh.
It's very realistic and beautiful. But if you look at it with a certain perspective, he looks like he's in Kiss, but it's not. He's not supposed to be in Kiss. It's a good tattoo. Let me tell you.
Is that something that you thought, or has someone been like, he looks like he's in Kiss?
Someone told me that after I got funny. It, and then I was like, all right, thanks. Get out of my life, asshole. But I got the tattoo because Obama was still president, and I forgot to tell you about this other instance that happened with my family. Like when I first voted for Barack Obama, I was like 18. It was the first president I was ever voting for. And I was so excited to vote for him because it was the first time that I had kind of realized, oh, I'm not a conservative Republican. I think, you know, differently. I just think differently. I think other people exist. That's what led me away from. But yeah, I remember we were at like Thanksgiving or something and everyone was talking about the election. And I was like, I voted for Barack Obama. And it was just silence. And that made no sense to me. And I felt so lonely. It was awful. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, you're from the Bay, so you like I don't know if you've had anything like this experience.
It's like when I tell my mom I didn't get an A on my test.
I mean, that is also awful. But I mean, oh man, like getting a C would be better than feeling like, oh shit, I may not be going to motherfucking heaven. I think differently from everyone at this table of people going to heaven.
I mean, Asian version of that is we're not going to go to Harvard, so.
Harvard is heaven. Harvard is heaven.
Now I'm just in hell, LA. No, I'm just kidding.
LA, baby.
LA.
It's hot over here.
That does sound, it's like bombing, but to the people that you love the most.
It's like bombing to the people. And then after you bombed, it's like, oh shit, he is one of those. You know what I mean? Like if you watch Fox News every day, all the time, 24/7, like my grandfather does, you will think people like me are your worst nightmare. You know what I mean? Like, you remember how everyone was screaming about, like, Antifa with the black hoods? Right. These Antifas with the black hoods are everywhere. And Joker is going to rob the vault, and he's using the Antifa as a distraction. You know what I mean? Like, this, okay, calm
but
down.
You we're just watching, you were watching all that and in that same world. So was there, did you feel like somebody in your family must sort of, like, you know, would you felt like you could get through to them like that
they,
someone surely must
through.
Feel the same way as you if you've had the same background and you think these things, maybe somebody else is questioning.
I mean, I have since met more people like me that came from my shit, like but I still was proud to vote for the first black president, and coming from such a conservative background, I knew that my grandfather, you know, as much as he loves Republican, you know, life, a huge part of that is hating tattoos and piercings, like a big anti-hippie sentiment.
Right.
Hating long hair and men with ponytails. Oh God. Tattoos and piercings.
Uh-huh.
And being disgusted with like the LGBT community, because that sort of like is like a thing that came with the sexual revolution for them. Like that was like, that's too mind blowing for them. They can't, they just like fritz out. Like they can't handle that. Oh, man. It's so hard just being like, you know, it's okay for someone to be different. Have long hair and piercings and be different from you. It's fine. You know, it's okay. Piercings don't mean anything. It's fine.
They're not taking away from you.
Yeah. Nothing had nothing to do with you. But they hate piercings and tattoos. So
that's
I thought instead of like firing back some acid over text about Trump, that I could just get a tattoo of the black president who I voted for, who I liked. And underneath it says, I love my black president. Because I love my black president. I got it while he was still president. Trump hadn't been inaugurated yet. I was like, this is something that's important to me. And I am not just going to be, I'm not just going to roll over and stuff, and I'm going to be firm with my family, firm with my beliefs, and stand up for stuff that I believe is right, even if it makes me not live up to this magical Christian ideal that, you know, would that I could be.
That's
different.
their ideal.
Their
it's
ideal.
Not
would that I could be.
Necessarily the Christian ideal.
So, you know, now when I start thinking about how awful it is that, oh my God, that Trump is the guy and the Christians liked it, I just touch the Barack on my leg, and I just go, hey, buddy, I'm not going to yell at somebody. I'm going to be a bigger man. You know, I'm going to be gracious and have mercy and grace. And so that's what, so it's a tribute to my grandfather and a tribute to my black president.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Did you tell, did your grandfather know? Have you told him or shown him?
I haven't told him or shown him because I don't want to be mean.
Right.
It would be mean to do that. It would be a fuck you.
Does anyone in your family?
It's not meant as a fuck you, so I don't want to expose it to him.
Or has anyone in your family seen it?
I think my family knows about it. I don't think we're going to talk about it much, and that's fine with me
because
I like it, and I'm just going to leave it there. And, I don't know. It, you know, it's really going to suck if, like, in 5 years we find out he's got, like, a bunch of John Wayne Gacy-style bodies in his basement or something like that. Like, that would suck. Because then it would be like, shit, this
Obama.
Is a tattoo of the murderer Obama. Oh. But, you know, till that day, it's pretty cool because I still think he's a great guy. And speaking of men's fashion, I mean, was there name a president who wears the hell out of a suit like that?
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about. He's got great fashions. I thought you were going to say men's fashion, a tattoo is the biggest fashion statement.
I mean, it's a piece of clothing that you never take off.
That's
the
true.
The tattoo. You know, on my marriage night, when a woman sees me naked for the first time, that will be a special gift to give her of like, you don't just get this beautiful face, you get this beautiful face as well. And then I point to
your leg,
to Barry on my leg, and I go, hey, so buddy.
Do you have other tattoos?
I want to get a tattoo of, I've thought about getting another tattoo that represents another family member of mine. But I don't know. I mostly, you know, I had wanted to get a tattoo and it had to have a lot of importance. So,
right.
You know, getting to vote first for Barack and then going into this awful Trump presidency, I wanted Barack to still be my president.
So, be with you, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted Barack to still be with me. So that's why I got Barack. So it would have to be somebody who measures up to that. So, you know, maybe Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid, the video game series Metal Gear Solid. That's a thought. I might want to get a tattoo of Solid Snake. What do you think I should get a tattoo? What do you think my next tattoo should be?
I don't know. I don't even know Solid Snake, so I feel like
our
references are probably very different.
He's got a bandana, and he's like...
A snake with a bandana?
Badass.
Where does it go?
No, he's not. That's his code name. That's his code
I'm
name.
I'm imagining
a
like a little snake with a cute little red bandana.
I would love to get... Hello. Yeah, that would be a cool, just like a cute snake.
A cute snake.
I could get a cute snake. Where should I get a cute snake?
Hmm...
My neck?
No. That feels like a gang thing.
Yeah, that'd be more of I couldn't
get it on your
I couldn't
arm.
Temp at an office.
On your ribs. Again. I'm about to get a rib tattoo.
Rib tattoo?
Mm-hmm.
What up?
I'm gonna get plum blossoms. They're like the Chinese squirrel paintings.
Yeah.
I'm getting watercolor.
Awesome.
The plum blossoms in Chinese are like a sign of like resilience because they last through the winter.
Oh, okay.
But this one really is more an aesthetic one because I've done like meaning ones and then now I kind of just want a nice general
that's like
good feeling. Yeah.
Well, I highly recommend getting a tattoo of whoever is president currently.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that that's what you should
do. See if they could throw
that
in there.
If you could get, because like, there's a lot of ways that you could incorporate the design of that blossom.
Yeah, just make it orange.
Make it orange. You could incorporate some swastika
elements
into
it.
You could draw a wall around it. Absolutely.
I really love this tattoo story. Because I think it's such a bold statement.
Yeah.
Have you ever, I mean, besides obviously telling me, but is this something that you talk about?
Not really.
Or sort of just like a thing for you?
I don't know. Because I think like, it's like a weird, it's kind of a weird thing. And when I have told people, they'd be like, really? You've got a tattoo of Barack Obama on your tattoo?
Well, because it feels
leg?
Like such a, like it's a funny idea, but then.
I'm not trying to be funny.
No, I know. It's a very meaningful thing, but it's so bold.
I do worry that someone would look at it and be like, is that a fucking joke? And then I'd be like, not at all. Like I would be like, will you please sit down and hear a semi-emotional autobiographical story? It'll take about 35 minutes. I don't know. I think I don't know. This that tattoo is serious. I kind of think tattoos should be a little serious, but I don't know.
So it's not something you've really been or you've had to confront anyone or talk
yeah,
about
I don't really talk about it a whole lot because I think because of how personal it is. Mm-hmm. But like definitely when I got back together with my girlfriend, who's now my fiance, which will be a wife at one point.
Maybe when this
we'll
podcast comes out.
Yeah, exactly. We're going
to
get married right
no,
after.
No, it'll come out
shit,
before
I
that.
Get... Okay.
Hopefully it'll come out earlier.
No. Yeah, it'll come out earlier than that. She's seen it. And that was a fun thing to like reveal to her because it wasn't.
Did you tell her about it before she saw it, or
I think
or you
I
were
did.
Already dating when you got
we
it?
We dated after college, and then we broke up, and I moved to California, and I did comedy and dated other people, and she did not do comedy and dated other people, and then she came to L.A. to see a Dolly Parton concert at the Hollywood Bowl, and then I saw her on Instagram that night, and I texted her. And we got beers, and then we got back together, and we've been together over a year, and now we're engaged. So that's the story of me and her. And
so she's the only person
so she
who's
had
you
seen,
haven't you weren't dating other people like there. I was gonna ask like, what's that like? Do you have to explain before, like that you have the tattoo? But if she's the only person who you've dated since you've had the tattoo,
She was. I think so.
So you,
I think
you only had to explain it to one person.
Gosh, yeah.
Maybe.
So. Yeah.
Are we exposing more secrets? No.
No.
You're like, there were some breaks in between. Other people have seen the tattoo.
I wonder who all has seen the tattoo. Well, I'll tell you what. There is this wardrobe at, you know, a freaking Skittles commercial. They're seeing the tattoo.
Okay.
I got a made-for-internet Skittles commercial, man, and they saw that tattoo. When I did this show called Future Man on Hulu,
yes.
I played Ed Begley Jr.'s character, and they were fitting me there for in these, like, 80s clothes for mm-hmm. 1980s Ed Begley Jr. to be at this party scene. And they saw my tattoo, and they got, like, pictures with it. It was like,
wow,
like, it is my thigh. It's not a fucking photo booth at somebody's wedding. Back off. You got to wrap it up at some point. Wrap up the photo sesh. Annie Leibovitz.
Did they react? They just saw it and were like, can we take a picture with it?
Yeah. I mean, they saw it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is that pulls in different people, but it's definitely eye-catching.
Well, it's a conversation starter for sure.
If I saw that
and I didn't know anything about somebody, I would definitely ask about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's rude to ask about tattoos because people choose to put that there.
Yeah. If you're exposing it, you got to be ready to explain it. Ooh, bummer sticker idea.
There you go.
Write it down. That was almost poetic.
I was thinking that's true, but then I was like, but then you can't, that doesn't apply to like handicaps. You can't really just ask about
people's handicaps? Of course not.
So I think, but it's different because you choose. I think if you choose to put on your body and it's showing, you shouldn't be mad if someone asks you about it.
Yeah.
It's a choice thing. But then you're not supposed to ask, like, if someone has an eye patch, you can't be like, what's up with your eye?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
hello, Mr. Eye Patch. why don't you tell us a story of the wild seas?
But sometimes I feel like not saying anything is also weird. I mean, obviously, like, the polite thing to do is not say anything, but I had heart surgery and I have a scar. And when I was a kid, people asked me about it all the time.
Really?
Because kids don't have a filter, so they'd be like, what's that, why do you have a scar?
Kids are filterless like Lucky Strikes.
We should get kids to sell the Lucky Strikes.
We should. Cocaine and Lucky Strikes. I think this is a bright future.
I'm changing this to an entrepreneur podcast. But adults don't ask me about the scar, and I almost forgot I had it for a while until like recently someone asked me about it, who was a good friend who was like, uh-huh. I never asked you what happened. And then it made me realize, I haven't heard about this for years because adults just know not to ask about it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. It's weird. But they probably noticed it because my friend had noticed it and just never said anything.
Wow.
So yeah, sometimes it's weird when people don't say anything.
Oh, yeah. The tattoo was done by Emily Effler.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Who you might have encountered before. But I just want to give a quick shout out to her and her. I can't remember where her station is, but definitely look her up on her Instagram and you can find out how to get hooked up with one of her dope tattoos.
Yeah,
I really like her art
style.
She's
done a lot of cool tattoos. She did a Bernie one for Brody.
For Brody, yeah. Mm-hmm. She did Brody's Bernie. Yeah, Brody was getting a Bernie around the same time I got my Barack. So it's like, that's like tight. I think that's tight as hell.
Tattoo bros.
Tattoo bros, yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to add to that story? Or wrap? Final thoughts?
I just, you know, it's important that you stay in school and that you don't do drugs except the good drugs like mushrooms.
Yeah, mushrooms and cocaine.
No, not cocaine. Nothing that's been refined.
So I should put this away.
Honestly, kids, stay away from cocaine. It makes your heart beat fast and it makes you think that your ideas are good. And it's a really bad drug to do and you shouldn't do it. It'll kill you. Those things will kill you.
If you want someone not to do something, you got to tell them that it's good for them.
Yeah.
I want to end with a final confessions game.
Okay.
This is a celebrity confessions game.
So do I need to do impressions? I have some impressions.
Not impressions, confessions.
Oh, okay.
You don't need to do impressions unless you want to. You can answer in an impression.
All right.
But I just have a couple of celebrity confessions. I'm going to read their quote, and then you have to guess who said it. And it's multiple choice.
Okay. This sounds fun.
So you can guess who it is.
I'm ready to play this
game.
How
good are you with celebrities?
I'm really good with celebrities, you know. Me and me and Jessica Simpson hang out a lot, and I'm really good friends with Mark McGrath.
Wow, she's one of the
Northwest
choices on here. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
So maybe you'll. Who knows?
Well, lay it on me.
Question one. Okay, this is the quote. I forget to flush the toilet. Friends will tell me, redacted name. You totally pinched a loaf in my toilet and didn't flush. So who confessed this? A, Lindsay Lohan, B, Megan Fox, or C, David Schwimmer?
Megan Fox.
That is correct.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I listened to, you know, the quote, and I thought, you know, who in Hollywood is that into shit and poo-poo and caca? And of that list, I thought, Lindsay Lohan, obviously too high class for that. So we got to strike her right off. She would never deign to get that scatological. And David Schwimmer, sort of a similar case. David Schwimmer, I see David Schwimmer sipping hot tea and reading like The New Yorker on like a Kindle Oasis. So like that's what he's doing. And Megan Fox, I imagine Megan Fox just snapping off a big old turd. Sure. Megan Fox is the most turd friendly.
She
of
is,
those.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got one right, 1 point.
All right, 1 point.
Next
y'all.
Quote. I don't brush my teeth. No, really, I just use Listerine, and sometimes I'll use my sweater. Who confesses? A, Jeff Bridges, B, Jessica Simpson, or C, Donald Duck?
It sounds like Donald Duck because I know Donald Duck, you know, is an alcoholic and lives in a dry county, and that Listerine is kind of the only way he can get off. You know, after 9 p.m.
And he does wear a sweater.
He does wear a sweater. And who was the first one again?
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. Well, Jeff Bridges, you know, is a photographer, and he's mealy-mouthed. You know, this is every Jeff Bridges movie now. He's like,
that's a good impression.
That's what Jeff Bridges sounds like now. So that, to me, sounds like someone with gingivitis, with gum problems, receding gums and bleeding gums and jagged snaggle teeth and stains and infection. That sounds, the amount of difficulty he has speaking when he's playing Rooster Cockburn in True Grit, I would say, you need to wash your mouth out. So it could be that guy. Let's say B, Jessica Simpson.
That is correct. Okay. Wow, you're killing this game. Here's another. This is a quote. I snorted my father. He was cremated, and I couldn't resist grinding him up with a little bit of blow. My dad wouldn't have cared. A, Keith Richards. B, Charlie Sheen. C, Rilo Ken.
You mean Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren. What did I say? Rilo Ken.
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
Well, Keith Richards, I think he would inject or fuck remains. You know what I mean?
So you're answering B?
So I'm answering B.
It is A, Keith Richards.
It's Keith Richards?
It is.
No, it's not.
That's his quote. He said that.
I thought Charlie Sheen would do something like that. Because
Charlie
Sheen
would do something like that.
Is a trickster. He's like, Charlie Sheen is like Salacious Crumb from Return of the Jedi. That's like the little bird evil puppet man who's like, who sits on like Jabba's knee. That's who Charlie Sheen is like a little party animal.
Yeah, he
like
is part of
little Henson.
He would
puppet.
Do something like that.
So he would definitely snort remains. I thought Keith Richards would be a little chiller about it, you know?
It's a good guess, but it was incorrect. Okay, final question.
Okay.
Here's the quote. I wake up every morning at like 7 or 8 because I think that there is a bad story about me and I have to check. My worst fear is waking up and finding something bad about me on the internet. Who confesses? A, Kylie Jenner, B, Selena Gomez, or C, the Hamburglar?
Okay, well, Kylie Jenner she's the one that's, like, not natural, right? Because, like, Kendall is like, I'm all natural, baby.
I don't think any of them are natural.
I'm, like, chill. Kendall is, like, Kendall is, like, more grounded and down to earth. Kylie is, like...
Is that how you would describe her?
Yeah, Kylie is, like, the Joker, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
And Kendall is, like... Not even a Batman character, just like chill, just like I'm over here.
So chill, supermodel chill.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
she eats pizza here.
She eats pizza. She sings, right? Doesn't she sing?
Does she?
I don't know. I don't know if she does. I don't care. I don't give a shit. But so I don't think it's Kylie. Who are the other ones?
B, Selena Gomez, or C, the Hamburglar.
I don't think the Hamburglar's that vain, or else he'd take the mask off. Mask off. Fucking mask off. Mask off. Fucking mask off.
You have managed to do impressions in every
I try.
It's very good.
And then who was the other person?
Selena Gomez.
Mm-hmm. I bet it's Selena Gomez.
It's Kylie Jenner.
It's Kylie.
So you got 2 out of 4.
Should be worried.
50%. That is an F. So I'm sorry, but you failed.
Okay. Well, you know, it's like, can't live up to that standard. I just can't.
But that's okay, because you got a tattoo, and we got a, heard a great story. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
This was very nice. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to hear a little bit about you. Where can people find you?
You can come to my show in Highland Park, Los Angeles, California, every Wednesday at 9:30-ish. It's 9:30. Called Rod Stewart Live.
It's a fun show.
It's a fun.
I've been there.
You've done the show. Haven't you done the show?
I have. Yeah.
You've done the show.
Good fun show.
It's a fun show. We've been doing it for 14 years. I'm really excited to get it started.
Years?
Yeah, 14 years. Wow. We're all in our 50s. Oh. We've been doing the show for 41 years. And I'm so excited to get the new season started of it again. So that's every Wednesday at L'Aquavita in Highland Park, Little Cave.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's where you can see me. And then.
Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at Shrimp Jaj.
Shrimp Jaj.
Shrimp J-A-J. And I'm on Twitter a little bit, but Twitter is also like the tool where the evil president makes everyone mad, so I don't like it. So I don't really get on Twitter very much other than to check it and look at everyone screaming, and then I turn away from it again.
So but please scream
Instagram.
At Jaj. Yeah. Scream at him on Twitter and then Instagram.
Get up on my Instagram. If you want to see Final Fantasy VII screenshots, pictures of my beautiful fiance, and comedy stuff, check out my Instagram.
Same Shrimp Jaj?
Shrimp Jaj. At Shrimp Jaj on Instagram. Trump impressions and interesting stories and promotions. I promote a lot of products on my website.
Love it. All right. Fine and better. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
That's our podcast.